Brothers and sisters, our first scripture comes from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 58, verses 9 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own purposes, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, from the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And our second scripture from the book of Luke, Luke 13, verses 10 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which the work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he had done. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and everlasting God, your love defies our understanding. It reaches us no matter where we are and guides us to be the people you know we can be. Lord, we ask that your word today would light our path, that you would guide the meditations of our minds and hearts as your word reaches us, takes root within us, and grows. It grows so that we can be a beacon of hope in a world so bereft of hope, so that we can bring light to those who are lost in darkness. Help us, Lord, through your word. Guide us, speak to us, and hear us. Amen. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has done it again. Jesus has trampled, if you will, on the sensitivities of those who are trying to honor and keep the Sabbath, albeit in their own specific way. Now, that might be putting it a little extreme, but in this moment, when Jesus acts, This is not an unextreme act. This is a risky act by Jesus. It's an extreme act for Jesus and the woman who is involved. It's one that it requires extreme and immediate action. After all, why else would someone risk what was a capital crime to heal this woman? Let me say that again. Why else, if it was not an extreme moment of need and love and care, would Jesus risk his own life to heal this woman? Yes, this was a capital crime. To knowingly and willingly break the Sabbath was a capital crime. Jesus would have been counted the same as a murderer, a kidnapper, a perjurer, and my personal favorite, a child who often and regularly disobeys their parents. That was the one I really found. The fact is, there weren't blue laws in that area. There were the law guiding the Sabbath. Now, when I grew up in West Michigan, there were certain cities that had what were called blue laws, where during a certain point in time on the day, you couldn't buy alcohol or beer or cigarettes. You had to wait until noon. Or a little further to the west, in the counties a little further over, you couldn't buy alcohol or cigarettes or beer at all. You could just go to the counties around. The fact is, businesses would face not a capital punishment, but a hefty fine for breaking those blue laws. The fact is, there were always loopholes to these laws. Now, Jesus isn't faced with a loophole. He's not looking for a loophole. Think about this with blue laws. Who gets to work on a Sunday? No matter what, has to work. Well, you have police, fire, nurses and doctors. Can you imagine going to the emergency room and walking in and having a greeter? You can't have a greeter because that's work. Maybe a volunteer. And they say, "I'm sorry, I know you're sick, I know your leg is dangling there, but it's the Sabbath and we can't work." Ministers have to work on Sundays. Can you imagine going even now to a restaurant and them saying, "I'm sorry, we're closed on Sunday"? The fact is, we have these nice little blue laws, but we have these nice little exceptions, because if our house is burning down, we don't want the fire department to say, "Sorry, it's Sunday." If somebody breaks in and robs our house, we don't want the police officers to have an answering machine say, "We'll take your call and deal with it tomorrow. We're sorry. It's Sunday." But the fact of the matter is, there was no wiggle room for Jesus. No little penny ante moments where he could say, "Well, you see, I kept my foot here, so I'm okay." There's no way he can say this is a necessary act. He has willfully and knowingly broken the Sabbath. And if you pay attention, his life is at risk. Listen to what that leader of the synagogue is doing. He doesn't address Jesus directly. He doesn't go up to Jesus and say, "Jesus, thank you for teaching today. However, you broke the Sabbath. Can you maybe say you're sorry and we'll forget the whole thing?" There's no rebuke. There's no taking him aside and saying, "Look, this is not okay." No, he addresses the crowd. He starts to whip them up into a frenzy, saying, oh, there are six other days he could have healed this woman. Why does he do it today? The leader of the synagogue is trying to get a mob to stone Jesus. He's trying to get the crowd to act, all for Jesus breaking the Sabbath. Now, as I sat with this verse, I kept on thinking where I had seen a moment like this before. And then I was sitting with Barb and she demanded to watch an episode of Scooby-Doo. And what does Scooby-Doo have to do with Jesus in this moment? Well, in a particular moment, in a particular episode, there is a man who is whipping up the crowd because he believes this woman is a witch. And if you saw the episode, you know it was really her twin trying to disinherit her, but that's neither here nor there. The fact is, he is trying to get the crowd to do something. He is trying to get the crowd to go and attack Jesus because he's broken the Sabbath. Jesus is faced with the extreme moment with his life on the line. Now, I also began thinking about the motivation of this leader. Why does he whip up the crowd? Why does he seek to do this? Why doesn't he go to Jesus and just say, hey, why did you break the Sabbath, Jesus? And of course, Jesus would say, well, she's in need. Why not? But then again, he's going to walk away having won a theological battle with Jesus. He's going to walk away and say, yeah, Jesus walked into my synagogue, tried to heal somebody. I taught him, you don't do that in my place. He's going to try and do what the Pharisees have tried to do, only he's trying to succeed. So he has caught Jesus in this moment. He can't win a one-to-one argument with Jesus. He can't go to Jesus and say, you know, you're wrong, Jesus, because Jesus would come back. And Jesus would battle him in a battle of wits, and he would have no wits left. The fact is, he's not wrong that the healing could have waited until the next day. He's not completely wrong. After all, what's one more day? Maybe a few hours. But remember, I said, Jesus is extreme in his response and extreme in his love here. Tomorrow isn't good enough. Tomorrow is not acceptable for Jesus. Jesus is willing to act on the Sabbath because what better way to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy than to perform a miracle and heal this woman? What better way to honor his Father than to show the power of his Father by healing this woman on that day? What better way to follow God's law than to put into action the first and second greatest commandments? You see, Jesus knows that he's breaking the Sabbath, according to this leader of the synagogue. But he also knows that he is loving his Father and loving his neighbor by acting then and now. After all, he makes sure to point out that on the Sabbath, people still untie their animals and lead them to water, even though by the strict rule, that's work. But it's seen as mercy. So people are willing to have mercy on an animal, but not on this woman. They're willing to say, well, my animal needs water. Doesn't this woman need healing as much, if not more, than this animal needs water? But then again, by taking your animal to water, you're also protecting your investment. You're also protecting your bottom line. Remember that passage from Isaiah when God speaks about your own interests on the Sabbath? By being merciful to your animal, you are also merciful to your animal, but benefiting yourself. There is nothing in this for Jesus in healing this woman, except the possibility of harm and stoning. That's the problem. Jesus goes so far as to point out that this woman is a child of Abraham, one of their own people. It isn't even an outsider that they're dealing with. It isn't a Roman, a Samaritan, someone who people could have found ways and reasons to not help her. This is someone from their own community that above all else they should have compassion on. And yet, their love of the rigid Sabbath would kill Jesus for this. Their rigid love of the Sabbath would show compassion on an ox, but not this woman. The fact is, Jesus here is willing to love, willing to love and care for this woman. Even though it puts his own life at risk, he is willing to act. He is willing to heal her. This moment would be laughable if it weren't so tragic and inhumane. The people are so unfeeling and hypocritical that it just puts them to shame when Jesus points out their hypocrisy. They're ashamed that they love the law of God more than they love their brothers and sisters, more than they love the God that gave them the law. In this moment where Jesus violates and knowingly does so, the Sabbath, to heal this woman creates a shift in the way things are. Jesus points out the selective compassion of the people, points out their loving of the law and the legalism in their faith. And again, if it weren't so tragic, it might be funny. But the tragedy isn't it just that if this crowd had their choice, this woman would be suffering another day, living another day because it's the Sabbath. It's that faithful people are so unfeeling and uncaring. You see, Jesus here, as he always is modeling the life he wishes for us, the life he wishes for his followers to lead. He doesn't want us to love the law of God more than we love our neighbors. Love following the rules and regulations more than we love one another. He wants above all else for us to have compassion and love for God and each other. The people here have forgotten the words of the prophets, specifically what the prophet Micah had said when he said that the Lord requires but to do act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Brothers and sisters, children of the Most High God, this is what we are to do. This is who we are to be. Not a people who love rules and regulations more than we love people, but a people who go forth and tell others, who show others of the love and compassion of God. Go forth and love, even though you love imperfectly. Go forth and love. Amen. At this time, the deacons